In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Our tongue, you must understand, is not given, nor naturally knows how to pray. Just like children need to be taught the alphabet to form words, we must be taught our Father's word, so that we can call upon Him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. So Lord, teach us to pray. That in and of itself is a prayer that we unceasingly and must always pray. For we are always amateurs when it comes to praying. We never perfect prayer. We are not prayer warriors, whatever that means. Now, sometimes we will say that someone is an amateur, and we mean by that that they're not very good at what they're doing. Now, that may be true when having a disciplined prayer life will often elude that of both pastor and laity. But amateur is literally one who acts for the love of something, rather than for money or out of a sense of duty that I have to do this. Therefore, then, an amateur painter or writer is literally one who paints and writes for the love of doing it, for the sheer delight of doing it, and not because they have to do it. And there is only one who prays from his nature, from the essence of who he is. There's only one who prays out of a clean and righteous heart. And because it comes out of his heart, it is always very good. There's only one who prays completely spontaneously, because it comes instinctively from his pure heart, and therefore it is pleasing to his Father. That one is Jesus. And so, what the disciples asked their Lord, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. So we ask our Lord that he would teach us to pray. That is, to put ourselves, both body and soul, into the act of praying. But we also ask how to pray and what to pray. Well, to answer those questions is simply this. We must have our Father's words. We must have our Father's thoughts. We must have our Father's promised Spirit in order to pray. Insofar as my prayers are my own words or my own thoughts or my own spirit, they remain corrupt. Because out of my darkened and black and sin-filled heart, nothing good comes. Insofar as it is my own sinful flesh that is praying, I will often pray selfishly or heartlessly or blindly. That is to say, I will pray to get what I should not have. I will pray to know what I cannot know because I am not God. I will pray to have answers to questions that I should not have, and even if I did have them, it wouldn't make anything any better. My prayers then will often then wind themselves falling in upon themselves, and they go nowhere. Now, this is not to say that we cannot, in groans and deep sighs, lament to God our burdens and our crosses in this earthly life. As we wrestle with God in prayer, as Jacob wrestled with God in the Old Testament and told him, I will not let you go until you bless me. Because all prayer, no matter when it is or what it is, from our Father's word, is always prayed beneath the cross. It is prayed amidst suffering. It is not, therefore, as often is misunderstood, a means of grace. Prayer is not a means by which we receive the forgiveness of our sins or the certainty that we find in the gospel, that God is for us and that He is not against us. For that assurance, we must only look to the Word of God and to the sacraments of God. So, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray as you pray. For you pray, and so you love your enemies. You pray for those who hate you, that good might come to them. You bless those who curse you. You pray for those who abuse you and even crucify you. You have loved us. You have done unto us good things, blessed us, and prayed for us. For you are the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And you have brought us into your family, joined us to yourself, and made us heirs of the promises of God, and we are your own body, and therefore you have taught us to call your Father our Father, who is always more willing to hear than we are to pray, and who is always more accustomed to give more than we deserve or even desire. And so the language of Father in the text is not a metaphor, it's not an analogy. Certainly we would say that God possesses characteristics that we attribute to human fathers, such as strength and kindness and compassion and protection and safety and so forth. Nonetheless, we address God as Father, not as mother or supreme being or divine birthing parent or big guy in the sky or any other cute name that we want to come up with. You see, the devil loves ambiguity, but God has a name, Father. And so the Son, thanks be to God, has come to reveal his Father to be our Father. And therefore, all who are sons of God in faith are disciples who, learning how to call Jesus' Father their Father, pray. They pray, as the Pentecost hymn teaches us, that we would know our God aright and call him Father with delight. So it's crucial to understand that prayer, the prayer that God the Father has revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ, is how we learn to pray. Otherwise, if we do not have our Father's language, we do not have our Father's word through the Son's teaching, what are we left with? Think about it. We are left groping in the darkness. We are left with a God that we might believe is for us, or maybe he's against us. Maybe we perhaps even believe that he is aloof and he's not really interested in our crosses and our sufferings and the difficulties that we face in this earthly life. Even perhaps we might come to think, if it has not been revealed to us by the Son, that God has become our enemy when tragedy and inexplicable suffering occurs. Therefore, it is an immense comfort to know that as St. Paul says, that in Jesus, the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily in Jesus. That is to say, in short, in the face of Jesus, you see God. In the words of Jesus, you hear God. In the gifts of Jesus, you receive God himself in his flesh, in all of his mercy and all of his love. In Jesus, God gives and gives and gives some more, though we are often slow to show our take without gratitude. God loves and he loves and he loves some more, and we are often slow to love our God above all things, and we are often sometimes apathetic to the concerns and needs of our neighbors. So in the argument of the lesser to the greater that St. Luke gives in our text today, to those who deserve the sting of the satanic scorpion, the Father gives the bread of life. To those who deserve the fangs of the ancient serpent, the Father of Jesus gives faith and hope. And to those who hear, and to those who believe, and who ask for His Holy Spirit, the Father gives the Holy Spirit. And in giving His Holy Spirit, He gives His Son Jesus. For where Jesus is, there is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there is Jesus. And so to us, who often spend penny prayers on all kinds of petty and glittering things that we want this day and tomorrow, they rust and they decay and they are thrown in a corner, God nonetheless gives us all far more than we ever desire or need or even perhaps want. He's always more gracious than we ever imagined Him. He's always giving us more than we ask for. Think about it. We pray for daily bread, and He gives us the bread which is His flesh, His body, for the life of the world. We ask for the sake of our own name, and He gives us His holy name in baptism. We ask for the wills of our own flesh, and He gives us His own will that will keep us firm in His word and faith until we die. We pray for earthly safety and peace, and yet He brings us into an eternal kingdom wherever His word is preached and taught among us. Hearing the Father's promises through the voice of the Son, we believe in spiritual and eternal things that He is doing, things that we cannot even see with the natural eye. But He nonetheless is giving them to us as we abide in His word, and therefore He abides in us. When all the words that we have fail, and when the world grows silent and empty, and we do not know where to turn, His kingdom comes in flesh and blood, in death and resurrection, water and bread, wine and words. Seeking the kingdom of God, therefore, brings along with it everything else that God desires to give you. For He is the eternal one, and He stands over all things, both eternal and temporal. And therefore, He teaches us to pray by the very Holy Spirit, for whom we pray. We pray for the Spirit, and the Spirit teaches us our Father's words. And when in the weakness of our flesh, and it weighs us down, and our spirit is unwilling, when we realize in horror and sadness that we really are beggars, poor, crying, praying people that need, then the Spirit whom Jesus has given us, whom He has promised to us, helps us in our weaknesses. For you know the text, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Which is to say, the Holy Spirit drives us again and again and again to Christ and His gifts. To Christ, who by His pierced hands prays for us before the Father that we might be healed. He cuts away the body of the flesh with all of its uncertainty, all of its worry, all of its pain, all of its suffering. And He, God the Father, makes us alive through His Son, by the flesh of the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. And He does this not for the sake of 50 righteous. He does this not for the sake of 40 righteous, or 30 righteous, or 20 righteous, or 10 righteous that He saves. He does it only for the sake of one who is righteous, and therefore who makes all righteous. Prayer, therefore, is an exercise of faith. Prayer is a voice of faith. It is learning again the alphabet, the words of your Heavenly Father. learning the sound pattern of those words. And in this, we are always beginning. We are always amateurs. We are always novices who plead, Lord, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Now and forever, we know that our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, intercedes, prays for us in a particular heavenly place. Now and forever, we know that his prayer for us is already answered because his best work has been finished for us, and that is the redemption of our bodies and souls unto eternal life. Now and forever, our destiny in our Father's words, by the Son and by the ever-enlivening Spirit, is one of blessed eternity. And so our prayer has been answered. Lord, teach us how to pray. And so we pray, Our Father. In the name of Jesus, Amen.